prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Join with us now.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
It's that time again. It's Thanksgiving. We're certainly glad you guys chose to spend this night with us. It's my favorite service of the year. And we're going to hopefully kick off the season learning just how to be more thankful in our lives every day. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, "He Has Made Me Glad."
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, 'This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad."
Thank you. May be seated. Turkeys and cornucopias and pilgrims' hats. Seasoned stuffing hot from the oven. Creamed onions, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie. Uncles and aunts and cousins to play with. Grandmothers and grandfathers with family gathered round. Children waiting for the great pumpkin to rise over Charlie Brown's pumpkin patch. And dads watching college football. A day to relax and maybe rake leaves in the afternoon. But Thanksgiving? How much will our celebrations tomorrow have to do with giving thanks? A glance at the first Thanksgiving brings it all back. On December 21, 1620, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Through the dead of winter, the colony struggled with poor and meager food, strenuous labor, a biting wind that chilled to the bone, and the ravages of disease. Nearly half the 102 Mayflower passengers did not live to see spring refresh Cape Cod Bay. But God sent Indians, Samoset, Squanto, and Massasoit, to help the English settlers plant and hunt and fish. The bountiful harvest that autumn led Governor Bradford to invite the Indians to celebrate God's goodness. 90 tall braves accepted the invitation to join the pilgrims in a feast of thanksgiving to God for his blessings. The pilgrims lived close enough to the soil to know how dependent they were on God's providence. They had learned to thank God in the midst of the bitterness of winter past, and they were quick to thank him during the abundant blessing too. We teach our children to say please and thank you as the rudiments of courtesy. Yet it is so easy to be rude and unthinking toward God. How often we forget to gratefully acknowledge his goodness toward us. This Thanksgiving, let your prayers and expressions of love rise towards your heavenly Father. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Psalms 116, 12 and 13. One other reading I'd like to read is called Prayer with Thanksgiving. I've heard a lot of droopy prayers in my life. Hey, I've prayed a lot of them too. Prayers of desperation. God, you've got to help me. Prayers of self-pity. God, things are so awful. Prayers of resignation. God, if you want to leave me unemployed, then I can't stop you. But I'm learning how to pray a different kind of prayer. Prayer said with thanksgiving. I learned it from St. Paul, who, writing from prison, taught me a most powerful lesson. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Strange, here he is, suffering himself, yet he's telling me to pray with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the seasoning that makes our prayers edible to God. After all, who wants to hear people whine all the time? I've learned that you can't whine and give thanks in the same breath. Self-pity and thankfulness don't mix any better than oil and water. In fact, mixing thanks with prayer somehow changes it. When we remember what God has done for us in the past and think about who he is in the present and express that in thankfulness, our prayers become more gentle, more trusting somehow. Thankful prayers are offered with faith, and faith is an essential ingredient for prayers that God chooses to answer. We remember the pilgrims on Thanksgiving Day not so much for their turkey dinner, but for the sheer faith that inspired them to give thanks in a year that saw nearly half their number die of sickness. Yet they prayed with thanksgiving. When your annual day of feasting is over, you may bemoan your extra helpings of dressing, mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie. But if you can hang on to the thanks part of Thanksgiving, you'll be a different person. Because when you learn to talk to God about your needs, mixed with a healthy dose of heartfelt thanks, then you have crossed the divide from whining at God to real prayer. This time, I'd ask our brother Doug Williams if he'd just commend us to the Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another Thanksgiving, Father. We thank you for your provision and care throughout this year for our assembly. And Father, we just ask for your continued blessings as we start another year, Father, and just trust us to watch over each one of these families. Father, we thank you for our country, Father. We know that we have problems, Father, but we have been problems, and we just ask to continue to work in the lives of our leaders, Father, and guide them and direct them in the way they should go. Father, we thank you for the men and women who serve in the armed forces, Father, in the police departments, paramedics, Father, so many people who are there to help us. And we thank you in particular way of General David Hamilton tonight, Father, and his service to you over there in Afghanistan, and he along with many others, Father, will miss a real Thanksgiving dinner at home. And Father, we just thank you for their service. Father, thanks for bringing Bert and Mary Lou Mandone with us tonight, Father. And thank you for what they do with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Father, bless this night, bless our time together. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Now that was not a droopy prayer, was it? A lot of thanksgiving in that prayer. This time we're going to have a special musical number by Ron McKay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, for that beautiful number. This time, I've asked one of our young men to share some thoughts about Thanksgiving. Dylan Whittemore is going to come share some thoughts with us.
Good evening. This is what I'm thankful for this year. First off, I'm thankful for everything I have on this earth. Everything from the food that we eat to the warm house we live in. Sarah, my wife, and I realize that all this is given to us by God, and we try not to take it for granted. Also, knowing these things we have on this earth are from Him, we try to use them for His work, such as use the vehicles to bring someone to church, or the truck for someone who needs to haul something but doesn't have one, or opening our home for a function like a youth function. Also, I'm thankful for the two wonderful kids He has given me that I have to keep straight, and for my beautiful wife that keeps me straight, or at least tries to. Also, I'm thankful for, probably more so, the blessings we have in heaven and the treasures we store there. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I look forward to hearing those words from my Heavenly Father, "Well done," and then being able to throw down those crowns and treasures that never fade away, unlike the material things we have here on this earth, at my Savior's feet in thanksgiving for what He has done on the cross for me and for the entire world. But the third and the thing I'm thankful for the most, and this is something I've been thinking about all year now, is the love of Christ. The love for us that made Him so willing to face the cross. The love that I don't fully understand with my little human brain, and here is why I don't understand it. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." But Christ took this great love that this verse is talking about and took it a step further. You see, before accepting Him, we were enemies against God, but He still loved us enough to see us as His friend. And that is why I don't understand this love, and that is why I am thankful for this the most this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan. We'll give you one last opportunity to sing. We'll stand up one more time so we keep everybody awake tonight. We're going to stand and sing forever. We're not actually going to sing forever, but we're singing the song forever.
Reborn.
you, praise team. If you'd like to come down now, you can. Or you can stay. At this time, we're going to have a little short video that illustrates how we oftentimes live our lives taking things for granted.
Seriously?
Okay. Oh. Where is it all going?
Please, please, please.
Yes. Why is this happening?
It's 1278.
All right, let me get your no, buddy. No, no, buddy. No, no, buddy.
Hey, honey, are you taking things for granted again?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, well, is there anything you can do about that? Because we really need to do some laundry.
Lord, will you please give me a more grateful heart? Honey! My car! Okay.
I think we can see a little bit of us in that sometimes. We take for granted all the many blessings that we have from God and don't take the time to thank Him daily. This time we'll have a special number by the better half of the Dylan Whittemore family. Sarah Whittemore is going to sing a song for us.
The blood of Jesus shed for me.
Thank you, Sarah. This time we're going to have the younger member of the Apple family, Patrick, give us a biblical perspective on thankfulness.
Good evening. I'm thankful for my eyebrows because I don't have any other hair to be thankful for. And that is not in my notes. I just thought of it. About a month ago, I was appointed by the Guilford County Court to represent an elderly woman in an incompetency proceeding. For those of you not familiar with an incompetency proceeding, it's when someone files a petition with the court to have you declared incompetent. So they're saying that you're incapable of managing your affairs, whether it be due to some kind of diagnosis, some kind of health condition, some kind of mental illness. Well, this elderly woman, I was appointed to represent her. And what you do is you have a hearing after you do some investigations and meet with them. And in the hearing, it's up to the petitioner, the plaintiff in this matter, to present facts to show that that person is incompetent. Now, I represent the lady in her best interest. So if she is incompetent, and if I truly believe she's incompetent, the standard changes for me is to her best interest. And that doesn't have anything to do. I just want to be clear about the roles in the proceeding. So the petitioner at the hearing is giving evidence. So I have this elderly woman sitting beside me. I have the petitioner, her daughter, and her son-in-law sitting at the table next to me, and we have the judge in front of us, and we're in this small back room in the High Point Courthouse. It's very intimate, very private. It's not open to the public, and the petitioner starts going through the list of all the stuff with her mother, and she goes, "My mom is scared to go to the doctor. She thinks the doctors are going to infect her with something. My mom thinks the same car drives past her house every day at the same time, and that he's after her. My mom thinks that the mailman is putting explosives in the mailbox. My mom thinks the neighbors keeps putting snakes on the roof. My mom keeps losing her medication and forgetting to take it." And this went on and on for a few minutes. And I looked over next to me, and my client was weeping, and just weeping. She suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, and she would have periods where she was aware and she was good. She was stable, and she would have periods of mania where she was not able to understand and act rationally. But during that hearing, she had all her senses about her. And the hearing officer, the judge, stopped the hearing, and she goes, "Mr. Apple, you might want to talk to your client for a few minutes." And so I leaned over and I said, "Is everything okay?" And through the tears, the lady said, "I did not know I was that bad. I did not know it had gotten that bad." And that really hit me. Started making me think about sin in my life, and sin in the world, and sin in humanity. And that woman had a mental health condition, but I had a sin condition. And like that woman, I couldn't do anything on my own for my sin condition. Sin is a terrible, serious condition. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It starts with, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Before I was saved, before you were saved, you were dead. D-E-A, dead. Dead men struggle to see, don't they? They kind of don't have life that it takes to see. And like that woman, she couldn't see her sin. She could not her sin. She couldn't see her problems. And I was like that woman. I could not see my own sin. I couldn't see. I had become so sinful, a child of wrath, that it was hard for me to see. And like that woman, there was nothing I could do about it. And dead things have no hope. Dead things have no joy. They have no life. They have no light. They're dead. Do you know anything good that's dead besides a turkey tomorrow? And right now you might be thinking, well, this is depressing. What does this have to do with thankfulness? But the next two words in that verse contain more reason for thankfulness than probably the entire Bible put together. I'm not discounting other scripture, but I love those two next words. But God. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, and it continues down into Ephesians 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I'm so thankful that God didn't leave me in my state of death. He didn't leave me as a dead man walking this earth. He didn't leave me like that woman, helpless in the room, unable to care for herself, unable to even see her own sin until it's read back to her. But I'm so thankful God did not leave me like that. God rescued us from the domain of darkness, from our sin and from our deadness, and made us alive in Christ. And he didn't stop there. The Bible says in Romans 8 that he adopted us as his sons, joint heirs with Christ. How awesome is that? Dylan touched on that. It's like, why? Why would God do that? Why would God take this dead, sinful person and make him alive and not stop there from giving him life, but raising him up to be a joint heir with Christ? I can't comprehend it. It makes me think of the passage in Matthew 8, starting in verse 1. And when he came down, he being Jesus, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Many of you know that leprosy is a symbol of sin in the Bible. And like sin, leprosy is a disease. It's infectious. It spreads. And like sin, outside of Christ, there was no cure for leprosy at the time. It was they were separated from the culture. And the fact that Jesus would touch somebody that was a sinner, that was filled with leprosy. And I just thought about that loathsome disease and that leper. But Jesus reached out and touched him. And that's what Jesus did for me. And I'm so thankful for those two words in the Bible, that but God. Many people think that Jesus came to make good men, bad men good, but they're wrong. Jesus came to make dead men live. And to make dead men live, Jesus had to die. And I'm thankful that the perfect and holy God had a plan for salvation for me, and that he is rich in mercy and great in love, and that he sent his son to die for me. Thank you.
We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. All right, back by popular demand, and the popular demand was on my part because I really liked this video last year. This is a video that we showed last year. It's entitled The Thanksgiving Song.
It's Thanksgiving at our house and I'm singing a tune.
I'm cooking in the kitchen, it's what I always have to do. I'm raising three crazy kids and feeling twice my age.
I'm reading the paper, it's how I disengage.
I'm brand new to this family, I'm not all that well known.
wish everyone would put down their phone. Hey guys, could you put down your phones and say hi to Eric, please?
Hey guys, haven't seen you since the wedding, and I'm just really grateful to be a part of this fam.
I really like football, but not so much people.
We stress about this day because we are dysfunctional. The food is finally ready, it's exactly 12 o'clock.
And there's nothing more to do, so I guess we have to talk.
So where's the gravy?
You know what? There's not gravy really? This year.
Why not?
This Thanksgiving, we thank God for family. On this Thanksgiving, we thank God for family. On this,
I think she's right. Why do we fight? Soon to
leave
family, and that's enough.
Family.
It's crazy how we sort the small stuff. We have our flaws, more than a few.
I feel at home, cause my family's got them too. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Many of us see our families in that video, so hopefully we will be thankful, not just tomorrow, but every day. This time, we're going to have a special number by Joseph and Caitlin Shelley.
Came alive.
hands raised above my head. I only need to hear your voice and then I'll rise to sing. Yeah, I'll get up off this dusty earth and bring my offering. And while we were sinners and lost, you walked among us. For we were too weak to stand. You bore our cross. Now your victory song's raised, it's echoing age to age, that through darkness there came a light. Sinners and lost, you walked among us. We were too weak to stand. You bore our cross, and now your victory song's raised. It's echoing age to age that through
thank you, Joe and Caitlin. What an amazing Savior we have. This is the story of two old friends. Two old friends met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. Well, that's a lot of money. But you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew I had died and left me $85,000 free and clear. Sounds to me that you've been very blessed. You just don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away. I inherited almost $250,000 from her." Now the man's friend was really confused. "Then why do you look so glum?" "This week, nothing." That's a problem with receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it's a gift, we eventually come to expect it. The natural tendency is that if we receive a gift long enough, we come to view it almost as an entitlement. We feel hurt, even angry, if we don't receive it any longer. It is the same way with the blessings God gives us every day. I don't deserve my comfortable home that I live in, the beautiful scenery around me, the clean water I drink. But after receiving these gifts and a multitude of others for years, I sometimes fail to be grateful. I've come to expect good things, and when one of them is removed for a short time, like water or electricity or even the internet going down, I get upset. Let's make an effort today and going forward to recognize the blessings we've come to take for granted. Focus on what we have rather than on what we don't have. This time, we're going to have our brother Tico Wallace share some things about Thanksgiving through trials.
Good evening. I'd like to start off with a verse, Joshua 1:9-10. It says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that's easy to understand. And I had read that verse many times. thought I had it down. And back in July of 2016, Susan had an appointment to get a bladder check. We just had it done 6 months prior. Everything looked fine. And she was even thinking about canceling it because we had something else going on. So it was kind of an aside. But anyhow, we went to the appointment, and she went in and had herself checked out, and I went back to meet the doctor afterwards, and he didn't look good, and he said, "I really don't believe this." He says, "This doesn't look good." And I'm thinking, wow. So later, he called us at home with the message that, "I really wish I had better news for you," he says, "but I'm 90% sure that there's cancer in your bladder, and we're probably going to have to take your bladder out." And we were just dumbfounded. And I'm thinking, strong and courageous. Well, not that day. And time is short, so I'm just going to hit the highlights. But in that next week, we've been praying about this, and Abby, our daughter, had come over, and Susan wanted to get a second opinion. So they found, through the internet, a doctor over at Wake Forest. So she called, and we're thinking an appointment would be like in 2 months or 3 months or whatever. So the lady's talking to her, and she's gathering information. And at the end, she says, "Well, wait a minute. I have an opening here for Thursday." Now, this was Tuesday, so that was in 2 days. So we thought, wow. So we had an appointment in 2 days to get a second opinion. Probably an hour after that, the phone rang from our urologist here. He had scheduled us for Friday with a doctor from Duke. So in the same week, we had appointments for second opinions at Wake Forest, great doctor, and at Duke on Friday, the next day. So we made those appointments, and the doctors, both of them, looked at the information and said, "Wait a minute. I don't see a need here that we're going to have to take your bladder out." And both of them didn't agree with the diagnosis, so things looked a lot better. She ended up going to Duke. The car now, if we get in the car before 7 o'clock in the morning, the car automatically drives to Duke. We've made the trip so often. And we started the treatments at Duke. Love this doctor. He's just a great guy. And it turned out Susan went through the first few treatments. It was rough, but it was bearable. But then it got unbearable. So she was supposed to do, I think, about 8 or 9 treatments, and we had gotten 2 done, 2 or 3, and she couldn't stand it anymore. So the doctor, he said, "Well, no more treatments." And I'm thinking, well, we need these treatments. You know, you can't just stop the treatments. And the doctor told us, he said, "Well, sometimes if you're that intolerant, that means the drugs are really working, and you might be okay." So we did that, and he checked her, and she looked okay. But at the previous doctor, he had done some damage to her kidney, and it wasn't draining right in her bladder, and that caused her a lot of discomfort. We ended up one Saturday night at the emergency room here at Wesley Long, and she was really, really in a lot of pain. And 10 o'clock on Saturday night, the doctor was going to bring a urologist in. They weren't familiar with her treatment, and it went on and on and on. So she said, Susan, she said, "You know, I've got the doctor's number. Should I text him?" And I'm thinking, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. So anyhow, she texted him. 5 minutes later, now this doctor was out of town, and 5 minutes later, he texted her back and said, "Have the emergency room doctor call me at this number, and I'll tell him what to do." And that was just like an unbelievable situation. So she did that, and she went back to Duke the next morning, and they ended up doing a procedure that gave her relief. So since that time, the cancer has not come back. The doctors checked her twice, I think, and rather than have questionable signs, it actually looked pretty good. And we go back in 2 weeks, and she'll have another checkup. Now, the other thing, Todd had asked me to talk about Thanksgiving through trials. And the other thing was our daughter, Abby, she's had IIH for about 4 years. And briefly, IIH is a buildup of spinal fluid that creates a lot of pressure on your optic nerve, which also creates these horrific headaches. And she's dealt with this for 4 years. And to have a procedure, one thing that I don't want to forget. When we first got to Duke with Susan, and we went into the cancer center, she stopped. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. And from behind her, our daughter, in her infinite wisdom, said, "Suck it up, Mom. Let's go." And that was very, very helpful. "Suck it up, Mom." I thought, whoa, I'm glad I didn't say that. But anyhow, it worked out real good. Anyhow, back to Abby. She had IIH for 4 years, horrific headaches. And finally, she had an opportunity to have a shunt put in. And doctors don't like to do the shunt because there's a lot of complications with it. And real quick, what the shunt is, they put a valve like in your head, in your brain, and then they run a line down under your skin, and then they cut it and run it into your stomach. So when the pressure builds up, the valve opens up and it relieves pressure. And she was thrilled. No more headaches. She felt good. And after about a week, we were at the beach, I think, or somewhere, and she called, and she really felt bad. And every symptom she had was a symptom that the doctor had said, "Hey, if this happens or if that happens, you need to call us right away." What had happened, she had developed an infection. Back to Duke, she was in the hospital for, I don't know, 3 days, 4 days with heavy IVs. And the doctor told us later she really dodged a bullet because the infection was very, very serious. Now, they had to take the shunt out. So now she's back with the headaches and things. So the doctor said he wouldn't put the shunt back in. But then her vision got so bad that the eye doctor had called the surgeon and said, "Hey, look, we need to do something." So he agreed to put the shunt back in. So she was like excited and went down and put the shunt back in, and it just didn't seem to be working. So we had to go back to Duke so they could run some tests to see why the shunt wasn't working. Susan was not there that day. I forget what she had going on. Anyhow, we go there, and she has two tests, one on her head, had her stomach, had a scan done. So after the test, she got a call from a PA. And the PA said, look, don't go home. Hang around. I'll get back to you by noontime, but don't go anywhere. So I'm thinking, hey, this is great. They know what the problem is, and they're going to fix this thing. So her and I are really up. We're thinking, man, this is great. We'll get this thing behind us today. She'll be back to feeling good. So we're having lunch, and we're outside. It's a real nice area over there. Sun's out, just great, great day. Having lunch, and her phone rings. And this is hard for me, this part. But anyhow, I'm sitting there eating, and I hear her talking on the phone, and I look up, and she's got tears coming down. And she's going, "Okay, I understand. Okay." And she hangs up. And I said, what's going on? Because we're ready to get this thing behind us. And I'll never forget it. But she looked at me and said, "Dad, I can't catch a break. The doctor said He would not put the shunt back in. It wasn't working, and she'd have to get spinal taps on a weekly basis to take care of her procedure. Well, if you've ever had a spinal tap, that's not a good thing. So it was like we were deflated. We went from up here to down here. And I really wish Susan had been there, because I was not strong and courageous at all. Managed a prayer, but it was a very low-level prayer. It was really horrible. So anyhow, she got over it, and she got back on the phone, and she found a doctor over at Wake Forest. And she had heard about this doctor, and all this doctor deals with is her disease, IIH. So we went to Wake Forest, and this doctor told her, he says, "Hey, look, we got a few things that we can try." He says, "But I'm not going to give up on you." Well, what a breath of fresh air that was. And to make a long story short, he ended up putting some stents, not shunts. He put some stents behind her ear. And these stents are an inch and a half long. I couldn't believe it. But it's what, prior to him doing that, her pressure below her neck was like 19. The pressure from her neck up was like 46. Now, as soon as he put the stents in, her pressure was like around 20 through her whole body, and her headaches were gone. Now, she's still having some difficulty, but she's much better than where she was. And hopefully there's one or two things down the road that she'll be able to do. But God is good. God is good. We really struggled through that last year and a half, and my glass is always half full. My glass is never half empty. But a couple times through this period, it was really, really difficult. And that verse, Joshua 1:9-10, I really struggled with that because it was really hard to hold on to. But now, Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And I know he's with us now. There's no question. Some of the things that happened were right from the hand of God. He says, "I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand." So this Thanksgiving, when we sit down tomorrow with the family and all, it's a good thing. And God's brought us through, you know, a couple really tough things, but through it, we really saw God's hand working things out, and we're just grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tico, for sharing that from the heart. We can be thankful in the good. We can be thankful in the trials. God is faithful through them all. This time, we're going to have our traditional singing of "Bless This House" by Greg Whittemore, accompanied by David Douglas.
past these windows shining bright, letting in God's heavenly light. Bless the hearth ablazing there with smoke ascending like a prayer. Bless the folk who dwell within, keep them pure and free from sin. Bless us all that we may be, fit, O Lord, to dwell with Thee. Bless us all that one day we may dwell, O Lord, with Thee.
Thank you all for being here this evening. We're thankful for our wonderful Savior. We're thankful for each one of you, the body of Christ here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We're also going to continue this fellowship and celebration in the room next door as the Ladies Committee has provided some refreshments for us. And we just like to wish you all a terrific Thanksgiving. The time you spend during this holiday season, reminding ourselves to be thankful for all that God has given us, for all that He has done for us and continues to do for us every day. Let's just commend our time to the Lord and ask refreshments, blessing for the refreshments. Father God, we just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We thank you for reaching us when we were dead, Lord, and bringing us back to life. We are so thankful. Words cannot express just our gratitude for what you have done for us, Lord. And you are so deserving of that and so much more. Lord, we thank you for reminding us this evening in many different ways, through song, through little skits, through your word, Lord, to have thankful hearts in every situation, through the good times, through the bad, Lord, that you're always faithful. Lord, now just go with us as we go out from here tonight. Be with us during this Thanksgiving season as many are traveling and with their families. Lord, just give them a blessed time together. Thank you for the food we're about to partake and for the hands that have prepared it. We just commit this night into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.